Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, please, and open to 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you would, please. While you're opening there, just a couple other things. Good to have Brother Emmanuel visiting with us tonight. And it's good to have Brother Forney back in the services. And God's many safe miles that God has given him. We'll be hearing an update from him here not too long on a Sunday night coming up. If you watch your bulletins, you'll see the date advertised in there. It'll be exciting to see what our missionaries and what his experience was with them firsthand that in that service. Tonight, the message is simply your personal life. Anybody ever get personal with you? Somebody ever ask you something and you said, that's personal. That's personal. And sometimes you have to say that. But this is our personal life, our relationship. I think, hey, Brother Allen did a great job Sunday night. Amen. Amen. Enjoyed that. And, you know, one of the things that I got that I really stuck, though, he's talking about marriage, and he's saying when people are having trouble with marriage, you know, you say, work at the marriage. Work at your marriage. Just work at your marriage. But that isn't the thing. You work at your relationship. You work at your relationship, and when you work on your relationship, you're taking care of your marriage, amen? Anybody can work at the marriage, but when you work on a relationship, you're trying to really meet each other's needs and help each other out. And I think that it can be applied to our spiritual life. We could say, work at Christianity. And you could have all the outside workings of Christianity without having any heart. It's hard to shoot for the heart. I shoot for the heart. I you want to make people do just like you want them to do. But if it doesn't come from the heart, it's not pleasing to God. And so you try to get people to serve God and live for God from their heart and want to do things in a servitude attitude for our great Lord. That's a relationship, a personal relationship. How many, I enjoy doing things I've made, if I said before, that the people that appreciate things, how many you appreciate things? You know, you bend over backwards to try to help them and minister them. I believe God is the same way. God appreciates and we have a wholehearted relationship with him that's personal and we're trying to endear ourselves to him and be close to him. Older preacher, talking to a younger preacher, Paul instructing Timothy in this chapter. And Paul knows his days are limited, and he's giving advice and encouragement to young Timothy, who is young in the faith. He's not a novice in the faith. He had big work, but he's young as a person and lacks many of experience that the old Apostle Paul has. But he leaves him. He leaves him with some help and some dangers that he wants him to be aware of and has some flags to keep out of his life so that he can keep a personal relationship with God going and it doesn't just become the ministry, the work of the ministry, but he has the work of God and that relationship going on in his heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, there this says, let, now that's the idea that you have a decision to make. You don't have to. Let no man despise thy youth. And listen, being saved, being serious is not just for old people, middle-aged people, but it's for young people. I'll tell you who it's for. Anybody saved people. And so Paul knew that Timothy was going to face this as a young person, maybe somebody taking him serious. I've seen people conduct themselves very mature that are very young. And I believe Timothy would have been one of those. And so Paul's encouraging him, listen, you have a great relationship with God. Let no man despise thy youth. Otherwise, you are ready for the job that God called you to do. You're ready to do it. Now go out and do it. It says, be thou an example. This is good characteristics. And that's kind of where we're heading here in just a moment. I encourage you to take some notes because I'm gonna give you out some examples of what helps us to have a personal life with Christ. Here in just a little bit. But right here we have it. We have an outline in the Word of God. You can't beat it. It says, don't let anybody despise your youth. Be thou an example. How many was saved because an example of somebody you knew? My hand is up. All right? Many hands. And so thank God for the example. Guess what? It's our turn to step up and be an example now. And so, not an easy thing when somebody's looking to you, but no man live with himself. No man die than himself. Everybody's being looked at by somebody. And may we not be a stumbling stone to whoever that is. How about an amen there? That we could actually be a help and encouragement to somebody rather than stumbling on them. Example of the believers in word, in conversation. That conversation is in our everyday carrying out life. In charity, charity is the act. Love, but it's the action of love. We're to love, but anybody can say they love, but do it. Show them action. I liked what in Hyde's letter that Brother David read about them putting together 600 packets and passing them out. That made me sound like a whole lot. But I'll tell you what, you put 600, who knows how many items were in that package. It was because a storm came through there. And so they had a huge line waiting to get those packets in that work there. But somebody put some time in that thing to put it together and then to pass them out. And I'm sure it had the gospel in there, somewhere in there. And so I thank the Lord for that. But you know, I got to thinking, that's probably a good thing for anybody to do. I mean, get together, put together some packets, go downtown and say, hey, we have some things that will help you if you're having a hard time. We have some things. We got a little gift for you. I wonder how big a line you'd have. I bet you'd have a pretty good sized line. And so that's an idea of charity. Not talking it, but doing it. Action. In spirit. You know, unless we have a relationship, I'll tell you one thing we'll lack. We'll lack the spirit that goes with having a relationship with God. Hey, ever been in a home and they're fussing? And what kind of spirit is there? I remember walked in a conversation, somebody's fussing, and you say, am I interrupting something? I won't tell you it is, but there was a family, they were fussing big time. They were throwing coffee mugs at each other, and they were drinking. There was alcohol involved. And I told him, I said, here's the deal. I'm not going to put up with that. If you want me to come see you, then you have to quit fighting when I'm here. They said, okay. They sat down, talked to me. We had a visit. I left. I believe they continued their fight. But I think you have to have the spirit. There's something about a spirit. I know. I confess my own personal sin. If I'm not right with the Lord, then I think I have a spirit that will manifest that. But I believe when we're walking with God, I believe we have a spirit that manifests that. How many would say amen to that? I believe there's something about it. Now, Emmanuel, I just met Emmanuel tonight. And here we are. We're sitting in the back. And we have a common spirit. Though I just met him. I can tell talking to him. I had a guy on the phone today. He's supposed to be here next Wednesday talking to him. He asked me, he said, what do you believe? And he said, I'm moving to this area and I'm looking for a church. And he said, what do you believe? I said, I'll just get right to it. We're King James Bible-believing, narrow-minded, conservative music, teaching church, non-contemporary. I said, so that's what we are. He said, I'll see you next Wednesday. We'll see if we see him, amen. But if he comes in, I have a feeling I'd have a common spirit about him, amen. And if not, we probably just ran him off. But, you know, might as well know what they're walking into, what to look forward to. And but, you know, there's something about somebody that has a relationship. That is your brother. That is your sister. Brother Allen experienced people that he did not know the language. But could you sense a relationship? Hey, I got teary-eyed when I saw that young boy in the boys' home giving Brother Yeader a hug. How about you? I mean, loving that preacher, reaching out. And those that have been to Mexico, if you've been to Mexico, you've been to those children's homes, I guarantee you this. Miss Amy, you were at that one church. I bet you had to think about that other children's home. Look at that. You're teary-eyed. Look at it. Everybody look at Amy. And she's teary-eyed thinking about it. Because you can't, I'm telling you, you can't help but to allow it grip your heart if you're in that spirit. Because you know that could be you. You know, but the grace of God, that would be you. That would be you without a mom, without a dad, without a brother, without a sister, without somebody that would care for you in living with a total stranger. Thank God they're being loved on, though. I mean, the two homes that we were in were wonderful places. I'll tell you, I mean, they were amazingly clean and amazingly cared for. In the middle of nowhere was these children's homes. And they'll get grip. So the right spirit. Hey, in faith, in purity. I think that when we have a relationship with God, I'll tell you what, heard this statement about the devil. First of all, God is light. Is that true? And in him there's no darkness at all. Is that true? guess what? The opposite of the devil is that. In him is darkness, and there is no light in him. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? And so I think there ought to be something that we can say about purity. When we have a relationship with God, he is going to lead us and guide us in the steps of purity. I'm going to have a little fun with you. We had another guy. We had a guy sitting right back there today. He came through. He dropped off the sign, and he's from Canton. And he came in, and he's just bubbly. He's happy. He's joyous. He's happy. Sitting in the back, and he said about his church. They go to a Lutheran church in Canton, and he described it. I said, you know what? I think I know where that's at. Is that on the corner of Fulton? And I think it was Harrison. He said, yeah. I said, I noticed witty signs out there all the time. And here him and his wife put together the signs. And here's what he said. He said, we have a great contemporary service. The preacher said this to us. He said, you can do whatever you want in it. He said, we just have a good time. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to just bum him out. Then he said it again. And I still didn't say anything. I had nothing to say at this time that would be helpful, ministering. I'm thinking in my mind, ah! But really, I want to choke the preacher more than him. Amen? Preacher that says, do what you want. Play what you want. Anything goes. You know? And he says, that's our best service. I don't believe God's in that stuff. I don't believe God would lead us into that situation. So it bothers me. But I think when we have a relationship, see, these things come to pass in our life. This is what God's building, God's working in our heart. In verse 13, it says this, till I come. Well, he hasn't come yet, so till still in. Amen? Amen? Till is still in. And so what are we to do till he comes? Well, it's red is the way I remember this. Otherwise, how to stay red hot for God? It's acrostic. It's a Bible acrostic. R is reading. Read what? Bible. E is exhortation. We exhort the saints. And D is doctrine. And I believe doctrine is so needful in our day to get good and grounded in doctrine to give us the backbone to know what's right and wrong and stand with God firmly in our faith. Verse 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon, we believe everybody has at least one gift, and the way to get more is exercise one you have. Meditate upon these things. And so that's part of the character. We're to exercise the gift that God gives us. Let it not be dormant. Anybody ever have a broken arm or a broken finger or something? And if you don't use that after a while, what happens? What do they tell you they're going to do? Yeah, they tell you, you know, you're going to lose. If you don't move that sooner or later, you're going to lose the ability to be able to move that. Well, I think sometimes we get saved and we don't exercise our faith. It's almost like pretty soon we don't do much for God. It becomes a way of life. And pretty soon you can't hardly move at all from not exercising spiritually. 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself, this is our text, give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to what? And here's the big part right here. What's it say? Verse 16. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed carries this idea. Something that you want to retain. Hey, you know what I try to retain? Don't tell them. I try to retain all the birthdays of my family. You know, what would it be like if one of the children could walk up to me and say, you don't even know when my birthday is. I try to retain my anniversary. Smart man. I'm trying to retain my own birthday. And then when you get older, you understand this. How old are you? I'm trying to retain what year it is. And there's things that I try to retain. They're important to me because they're associated with people that are endear to me that I want. And by certain things, I can retain things that I believe that are important. How many of you try to retain a name of somebody? Isn't that nice? I've met them 10 times, but I don't know their name yet. I try to retain the names. I'm not good at names. I'm better at faces. I can look at a face. I go up and I know the face, but I don't know the name. You know, I do good with faces, but I have to work at the names. And then when I get them, when I associate them with something, me and Brother Alan is out calling. It just comes out, and always the best thing. We're out calling, and we're visiting a lady, trying to get her back into church, and she has a grandson there, and his name is Caleb. I said, you know what Caleb means? They said, no. I said, it means dog. I said, but we think of Caleb as being honorable, because I'll tell you what, he took a dishonorable name and made it honorable by his life. And I said, you've been named after an honorable person in the Bible. But retain names. Retain names. Retain things that are important. Of course, the things that I just mentioned are the things that we're to retain. So we're to take heed unto the who? Thyself. And unto the what? Doctrine. And continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save. Who are we going to save? I said, we're going to save ourselves from? From hell? Trouble. Difficulty. Satan. Snares. And so we're going to say, hey, you're not talking about the person beside you. You're talking about saving yourself. But look at this. And who? Them that hear these. So you're going to help others. That's pretty good, isn't it? So right there is a great outline of Paul ministering to a... real quick. The Word of God is worthy for us to study. When it talks about reading and exhorting and to doctrine and to meditate on these things, the Word of God is worthy for us to do that. You know, how many like science? How many like space? How many like to read about the stars and the heavens? And you hear about these galaxies and how big they are and trying to put it into some kind of small thing that your brain could bring into some kind of memory of how big that thing is. It's great. Or geometry. How many like measuring things and mathematics and things and figuring out how much stuff is inside of something, volumes, and how much water this container will hold if it's this size and all that. I say that because we take time to take heed to science, take heed to geometry. How many kind of dabble in medicine? You know what I mean? Yeah, you're raising your hand slow. How about herbs? More herb people. Let me see. Herb people dabble in things. You know, you find out things. I'm trying to think. What's that stuff called? You take it when you're sick. What is it? How do you say it? Echinacea. Man, oh man. If you like that stuff, don't start drinking. Because that stuff tastes terrible. Tastes like a weed. That's what it tastes like. But anyway, we're in here, we're to take heed unto ourselves. And we're to meditate on some things and learn some things. We think of science and studying that, and geometry and study that, and medicines and study that. But how much more important is the Word of God? It's in studying that. It's very important. If we're going to build ourselves and guard our spiritual lives, then we're going to have to retain some things. We're going to have to uphold some things. We're going to have to pay some attention to some things. We're going to have to meditate some things. We're going to have to study some things in order to have that personal relationship. Is that fair? Without that, hey, how many of you live with somebody that won't talk to you? You're tempted to raise your hand. I know that's not true. How many of you live with somebody and you're hoping they don't talk to you? You know, but you know, you cannot. I tell you how relationship will drift away. Just like this. Don't talk to them. You won't grow. You won't build that relationship if you don't take some time to speak. Well, the same thing goes spiritually. If we don't take time to speak to our Lord, to hear from our Lord, it's hard to grow and build ourselves into faith. How about an amen there? And so we need that time. Keep building is what I'm saying. And so don't quit on building. Brother Lee Robertson was a great preacher before he passed away. I believe I always enjoyed reading his messages. They're very simple and very boom, right? You don't miss what he has to say. I believe he's a very plain spoken preacher when he was alive. But he said he had these three things. He said, these are the big three. One, keep thyself right. That's pretty good. Two, stir others. And three, keep on the main task, which is soul winning and training others. That was his big three things that he did in life. He said, those are the things that I set out to do. I try to keep myself right. I try to stir others for Christ. And I try to keep them on the right track, which is souls and discipleship, basically, in a summary. All right, let me give you a couple quick things here. Number one is this. How can we have a personal relationship? Pretty much that was Paul's message, is what we've been talking about. Let me just go over it again real quick. Keep building. You cannot build others if you're not building yourself. That's number one. It's important to build others. But in order to build others, you have to build yourself. It's kind of like building a building. You have to know how to build a building to build a building. If you had somebody build a building, you never told them anything about it, never did any research, they're going to have a hard time ever building that building. They're not going to know where to begin. They'll be defeated before they ever start. And so you have to build yourself before you can build somebody else. No one in the Bible says for a pastor not to be a novice. Makes sense, doesn't it? Why? Because he has to be able to build himself in order to build somebody else. Number two, live an example. Didn't we see that over in this? Live an example. You know, how many want a good example? You want to see a good example. How many believe today that in the world we lack good examples? How many are shamed at the example coming out of Washington? And we want good examples. And we ask God to raise up good examples. Well, then it has to get personal. Am I an example? Am I an example? Am I an example? Let it be personal. I want it. I want to see it. I want to look at it. I want my children to see it. But am I what I want? Am I an example? And so it has to, in order to have that relationship, we have to have a burden to have a personal example. 1 Peter 5:3 says this about preachers, says neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. One said this. See if you can get this in one time through. Our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Got it? And so I think there's a lot to that. And I think the kind of example we want to be, we can be a lowly example or we can be a lofty example. So what do we want to be? Lofty. That's the kind of example we want to be. Maintain relationship in order to have that example. If you're writing, write these notes down real quick. 1 Kings 17:3 says this, and it's talking about Elijah, and he's talking about when Elijah is going to, you know, he predicts a drought on the land because of the sin of the land. Then years pass, and he's going to step out of being obscure, and he's going to you know, call the rain, and the rain's going to come. And, you know, at what he says. But here's what it says. In 1 Kings 17:3, it says to Elijah, hide thyself. Then in 1 Kings 18:1, it says, go show thyself. I think that's the key. I think before we can show ourselves, we ought to always hide ourselves. What do I mean by that? With God. Bear ourselves with God. Have time with God. Let God be real in our life. And then go and express, pour out what God has done and did for you when you hid yourself. I think those are the best messages, don't you? Best examples when it's been lived like that. When I think about witnessing, I think about witness example. Someone said this is a quote. It says, who gives out tracts? Okay. I'll just pick on you for a short time. You give out tracts, there's only one way you give out tracts. You have to carry tracts. Who gives out tracts? Those that carry tracts. And so, I tell you, sometimes I wouldn't know what to do with my wife's purse. Otherwise, you know, maybe his clothes or something. No tracks. And I try to always carry tracks, always something. Even I put one in my Bible that's all decayed or something, you know, but or in my wallet that, you know, somewhere I can get it out. Because it seems like when I don't have one, every time there's an opportunity, some way that I could have left a little message. And so I try to be a person that carries tracks, try to make it a habit in my life. I don't hardly ever leave the house without my Bible. I mean my big Bible. I mean study Bible. Somewhere, I don't take it door to door. I don't, you know, like this, come in to talk to you. I take a little New Testament. But I never am too far away from my big gun, so to speak, that if I need something, I can go and look up a verse or something. If I get in a bind, I get the best gun I'm familiar with and go shoot them with that. Amen? But anyway, be ready and when you think about being an example. Okay, so keep building is one. Two, live an example. Three, place scriptures in your memory. Paul said to Timothy, meditate upon these things. How many will say real quick this? That a verse that you've memorized or pondered or thought about bailed you out of sin somewhere in life. Can I see your hand? All right. You know what? I mean, there's something valuable about hiding a verse in your... When you're reading the Word of God, how many of you have ever experienced you're reading the verse and all of a sudden a verse goes and you say, I like that one. Now, what I do is I'll jot that verse down. I'll put it in a memory category that, you know, if you ever get around to it, memorize that verse. Memorize the verse. So if I'm bored, I've always got something to do. I have files, I call them barrel things, things that I want to work on. Someday I want to work on that. I want to tell you how big that barrel. I'm not going to exaggerate. Are you ready? That barrel is this big, filled with projects that I'd want to work on one day. So I'll never probably ever get through it, but I can't ever say I don't have anything to do. Because I always have something and I'm going to work. That's how many is in there right now. Just waiting, things that I'd say, boy, that would be good to do. And you know, I can't do it right now. Maybe someday and put it away there that someday I may get to it. But anyway, place scripture in your memory. Number four, stay humble. That's a big one. 1 Peter 5:5, for God resisteth the proud, but what? But giveth grace to the humble. I like that grace. I need to get grace. Amen. And so stay humble. If you want to be pliable, you have to be humble in God's hands. And number five, praise Him. Psalms 119, 164 says this, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that Psalms 119 is all about the Bible, the precepts Amen. And the judgments of God. And one of the key things in that is praising God for His Amen. Judgments, His precepts. And so take time to thank Him and for all the things that He does in our life. And number four, and almost done here. Number four, avoid the three F's. Now, what are the three F's? Now, it's female, finances, fame. But actually, it's four F's. Ready for this? Now, females, to be honest, can be... All the females looking at me like... Well, I can guarantee you that men aren't avoiding you, okay? So, that ought to help you. I know I married one. Okay, they're not being avoided. But, hang on. The males, the females, it's also just acrostic for a male as well. And what is it? It's this. It's that we got to be careful of the lust of the flesh. Basically, it's the opposite of sex. Are you following me? Don't ever think that nothing can happen to you. Don't ever let your guards down. And be careful and concerned about that you would maintain a testimony for God. The wisest man in the Bible was given unto lust, Solomon. The strongest man in the Bible was given unto lust, Samson. And so you can go through a lot of people in the Word of God, and you can find that lust knocks them out from serving God. And so that's what I'm using that for, females or males. But finances, and that's the lust of the eyes. Well, basically what that is greed, materialism. And then fame, that's the pride of life. Fame, you want to accomplish something, you want to be this, and it's filth. You know what the filth is? The filth is all the things that come our way that we're going to have to be careful of. probably falls underneath the lust of the flesh, but I needed another word to describe it. It's like, be careful on the computer, be careful on the TV, be careful looking through books, be careful listening to certain programs, be careful what your eyes take in. Just the filth of our world, and our world is filthy. Listen to me real close. How many believe this? How many believe that America spiritually is getting darker and darker and darker? Okay, then you know what? Listen to me very closely. That means this. That means that the devil does not operate in the light. He operates in the dark. And so when we say it's getting darker and darker and darker, you know what we're saying? We're saying that more of his ways, more of his enemies are freer to work in our nation than they have been before. Does that make sense? And so there's more of that activity, demonic things going on today. We'll leave it there. And I close with this. Number seven is this. Number six, by the way, was avoidance. Some things to avoid. Number six was this. Cultivate the right person. I'll tell you, the wrong person will come out like that. Hey, you think Kylie's lied to you yet? She has? Acts like Alan, doesn't she? You know, now how old's Kylie? 14 months. So there is a 14 month child misleading somebody to something. I'm just telling you that that we have to cultivate the right person. The wrong person just seems to be natural. But the right person in God, it needs to be cultivated. And so we have to cultivate that. Anybody ever wake up one day and you don't feel kind? You don't want to be kind that day. Now, I know some of you, I've met you. You know, and sometimes we fight that. Cultivate, but I think it's good to be kind. Kind doesn't have to be weak, and kind doesn't have to be associated with something you can walk on, but kind, learning to be kind. How about being patient? We're going to talk Sunday morning about the patience of Job. Patience. Learn to be patient. How many times do we have to tell our children, learn to be patient? If you tell your two sons, soon to be three, if you tell them that there's going to be something, what do they really like? Something they really like. They like ice cream. If you tell them, we're going to get ice cream, do you want to tell them 2 or 3 days ahead? No, they have to learn to be patient. And so we learn to careful when you what you tell children, because they want it now, and that's all they're going to think about. And so, you know, you don't want to, you want to give them something to look forward to, but you want it not too far that way that you want that. So we're cultivating in them. We're trying to teach them to be kind, teach them to be patient. Well, same thing for us. How about merciful? It's a good thing to forgive somebody, isn't it? Mercy to somebody. You know what mercy? It doesn't mean you're forgiving and they don't deserve it. Just be merciful. Forgiving. How about this? Not grudgeful. Is that a good thing to cultivate? Can't we all have to work at that, not being grudgeful? And that's my own word. Is that a word? What is it? Grudged? Well, I have a grudgeful, but I don't know if it's a real word. I was going to look it up. But you know what I mean, amen? Because we've been there. How about reliable? Should we cultivate that? Amen. Is it good to be reliable? Amen. You know, somebody gives you their word or say they're going to. You really shouldn't even have to give somebody their word. If you say you do, that should be their word. Reliable in jobs, reliable in bills, reliable in families, reliable to God. Reliable is good quality. And we close with this. Godliness is something to cultivate in the right person, because ungodliness comes out of us naturally. And so what we're talking about tonight, we're talking about your personal life. Personal to you. How's your personal walk with the Lord? And it is personal because God wants it personal with with us. And I hope that it's a close personal walk. And if it's not, work at it. Work at a relationship and not just Christianity. Because I'll tell you what, as you work at the relationship, Christianity will be the fruit of that relationship. So may God help us to have a close personal walk with Him. Stand with me, please. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment of invitation? Our Father, as we bow before You tonight, we ask our God for Your help in our life. And we do pray for this spiritual walk of our life. We pray that it would be pleasing to You. And we desire to follow in Your steps. We ask for Your help and Your guidance as only You may give and grant. And we pray, our Father, that You would minister to our lives as only You can. We need You, our Lord. We love You, and we ask for Your help and Your guidance in our life. We pray that our relationships would be sweet with You. We know, our Lord, that You say, draw nigh unto You, and You'll draw nigh unto us. And so help us to draw nigh, our Father, to Thee, and stay close, cling to Thee. In this day, in this world of dark times, when the Satan seems to have such free course in our midst, in our world today, we pray that we would have that close walk. Thank You for setting a wonderful example through Jesus Christ, who trod this earth in a dark time of life as well, and set such a fine example underneath great abuse. And so we ask You to speak to our heart tonight. Fresh as only You may. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.